Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy November. Ooh, and happy Friday. I seriously can't believe it. Not the Friday part. I'm always ready for Friday, but I cannot believe that it's November. I know I talk a lot about how October is a beast and a bear, and then Halloween caps it, and I sit in construction traffic and nearly miss the start of the show. It was perfect for the end of a spooky October. It was nuts out there last night, so I hope that you were safe and that you enjoyed making little kids happy, or that you enjoyed laughing at Bill Belichick in his Halloween photo shoot. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, go check it out at Amy After Hours. Well, it's priceless if you need to smile today. The Los Angeles Dodgers arrived back in L.A. on Halloween, and they had that World Series trophy with them. They are set to celebrate their 8th World Series title in franchise history, 7th since moving to L.A. So the first one was in Brooklyn. And they certainly are going to party hard, feeling like they have to represent the 2020 team as well. That's fine and good and well, but I'm really glad baseball did not roll on into November. I'll just be honest and tell you I'm happy it's done so we can focus on what's in front of us. Though, yes, there is still a ticker tape parade, and no doubt at some point, at least I hope he does. I hope he has a chance to go back to Japan. Shohei Ohtani will be celebrated like a god in Tokyo and in Japanese. Maybe they'll have their own ticker tape parade. I was thinking about it when Nikola Jokic went back. Remember, he says he lives in a small town, and after the Denver Nuggets won their championship, he was interviewed about what it's like to go back to Serbia, and I don't remember the name of his town, so forgive me for that. But he was talking about how initially people would come up and say hi and congratulations in the first week, and then the rest of the offseason, nobody would pay any attention to him. He would just fit in somehow as a 7-foot Serbian walking around his town. So, I don't think it's going to be quite the same for Shohei Ohtani. If he makes his way back to Japan, can you imagine what that will be like? Sound and fury. He needs extra handlers and people around him all the time in the United States. Think about what it would be like in Japan. So I'm excited for him and, of course, excited for the Dodgers. If you did not hear the latest with Freddie Freeman, it's pretty wild. The Jeff Passan article that came out on Thursday reveals he had torn rib cartilage that he suffered right before the World Series to the point where he collapsed. He was swinging the bat. He was pushing through pain. He collapsed because he was in so much pain he couldn't breathe. His dad said to him, "Hey, can you just sit this one out? It's not worth it to keep playing in pain." And he told his dad, "Dad, I'm not going to stop. I can't stop." Again, really good detail. Great column from Jeff Passan. So make sure you check it out. But that means his story is even wilder. Not only the gimpy ankle, but the torn rib cartilage that made it tough to breathe and swing the bat. And he's out there winning a World Series MVP. And it makes me feel so not tough. I mean, I climb a mountain every now and then, but oh my goodness. Wow, Freddie Freeman becomes more likable by the day. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We'll talk a little more about baseball at the end of the hour. We're bringing back the boom moment of the week. It's been a while. We've had lots of different peeps behind the double pane glass. Right now, Stitch is behind the double pane glass, otherwise known as producer Ryan, but he picked his Halloween costume based on its comfort. the fact that it was a onesie and it was plush, and that was all he was looking for, was something comfy to wear to work early in the morning.
That's the motto.
So I hope you enjoyed your Halloween. We gave away a bunch of candy at my house to the kiddos that were not scared by the barking dog behind the door. The funny thing is she barks and then she runs because she's actually more afraid of people than they are of her. She just likes to pretend as though she is a guard dog. She's more of a warning signal rather than anything else. She doesn't do anything but run after she barks and lets you know that someone is around. But we had fun giving out Sour Patch Kids and Heath Bar and Kit Kat Minis to the people that came up to our door. And so that was fun. And then, of course, kicking off week 9 in the NFL. And I dare say, if it wasn't the gigantic spider that was crawling all over your TV screen on Amazon Prime, did you guys see this? I know in the local markets, so Houston and New York, you wouldn't have seen the spider because you're likely watching on your own local channel. But on TNF on Prime, as they were going to the different commercial breaks, they had this gigantic spider a la, I don't remember the spider's name in Lord of the Rings, but you remember the huge spider in Lord of the Rings? What was his name? Her name. It was a her.
I haven't seen anything. I haven't seen the second or third one.
Really?
I watched the first one. I was like, it's like 4 hours long.
Yeah,
I need a break. And I never watched
it. But it's worth the investment. Oh my goodness. You never saw the end? The Return of the King? Okay.
Last I remember, right, Someone ran away with the ring.
Yes. Someone did. So the Return of the King in that movie, what's the giant spider's name? Someone tell me at A-Law Radio. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook, too. So that gigantic spider, they borrowed that spider to put in the graphics on Amazon Prime as they're going to breaks. It was a little bit disconcerting. Why do we need a gigantic spider? However, aside from the spooky spider, how about the spooky Jets offense again? Or maybe it's pulling a disappearing act again. Here they lost 5 games in a row. The only touchdown they had in the first half was, well, it wasn't really a touchdown because they're, and I kind of feel bad for him, their rookie running back on his first professional carry gets really excited. Poor guy. This is the one lesson you need to know. He gets really excited. He starts celebrating and exulting and freaking out before he crosses the goal line. And upon review, it's clear that he drops the ball before he gets safely into the end zone. Malachi Corley made a mental mistake. And guess what? They never gave him the ball again. That was the one and only carry he had. But it went 18 yards and it looked to be a touchdown. The fans at MetLife went crazy. Until the touchdown was taken away and it turned into a Houston touchback. From touchdown to touchback, it's a moment poor Malachi may never live down. Can you imagine what his phone was like when he got back to the locker room?
As a Jets fan, he's been on social media, like posting like, oh, just an opportunity. I'll get everything straight before this week.
Oh,
and
man.
Then this happens.
Let's look up Malachi Corley and see if he posted anything. Wanna, you go ahead and look up Malachi Corley and see if he posted anything after the fact. But I can only imagine what his phone looked like. Family, friends, just social media notifications after he gets one carry and it's a touchdown until it's not because he drops the ball.
His last post was 19 hours ago and it was a motivational speech about reading.
About reading. That's nice. Don't you kind of feel badly for him?
I do. Because I think he's a good receiver and he's supposed to be good and he hasn't done nothing.
Yeah. Well, that was his chance. We'll see when they give him the ball again, but I wonder if Aaron Rodgers will be quick to trust him again. And this is a guy in Aaron who needs to develop a rapport and a trust with his guys. It's pretty clear. He and Garrett Wilson were still working those things out. And even though the defense was all up in CJ Stroud's grill for most of this game, so keeping it tight and not allowing the Texans a whole ton of scoring opportunities, especially inside the red zone. Really, it took until that second half, and it took Garrett Wilson to spark the Jets offense.
Man rush. Lobs one left into the end zone for Garrett Wilson.
Oh!
One-handed catch! Incredible! Did he get 2 feet down?
Oh.
He did not! Out of the back of the end zone! They say incomplete! Two officials getting together! They're going to make sure. Takes the snap. Here comes the blitz. Lobs one down the right side. Devontae Adams. He's got it at the 10. 5. And it's a Jet touchdown. Aaron Rodgers hooks up with his old buddy. Davante Adams right down the chimney, and the Jets have a two-score lead.
I mean, just think about how happy Bob Wischusen is because he'd called five consecutive losses for the Jets, and of course last year was a bear too. So the Jets managed to spark that offense in the second half, and do yourself a favor if you've not seen the second Garrett Wilson touchdown. Actually, the first one is really dynamic as well. They're both one-handers, but the second Garrett Wilson touchdown catch that you hear there, which was their second touchdown of the game, it was a highlight reel moment that you're going to see over and over, potentially, and I know it's only week nine, a game of the a catch of the year moment for these Jets, even as they try to resurrect their season. So maybe this is the catalyst. But we shared it online at Amy After Hours, and it's not only acrobatic, but it's one of those ones that they had to go back and confirm as they were looking at it on replay. Initially, it was called incomplete because it does appear as though he slides out of bounds before he can get the requisite body parts down. Now, there are a lot of different ways this can happen. You're going to go read the NFL rulebook if you really care. But it's, you know, one butt cheek equals 2 feet. It's getting your shin down before your knee touches, which actually is pretty hard to do. That's not easy to do at that speed. But as even if it doesn't turn out to be a catch or a touchdown, which I, you know, would hate because then it would just be ruled an incomplete, it's still worth watching. It's a 35-yard through the air, 35-yard throw by Aaron Rodgers. He drops it into a streaking Garrett Wilson, who is going just about full speed toward the back of the end zone. Now he's holding off the defender with his left arm as the ball's coming in. But he's got to reach up and grab this ball that's about to go past him and over his head. So as he does that, it's almost like this dramatic yoga stretch where he reaches down with the left arm that had been holding off the defender so that he can kind of reach up to the sky and grab the football with one hand. But then in about, I don't know, 3 inches, he has to get both feet down and has to do it in order to preserve the touchdown. Now, he's manages to drag his right foot, but when it came to his other leg and his other foot, that one wasn't... No, I take it back. It was his left foot he dragged, right? So he's... Right? Because he's...
It was his right foot when he turned. He turned his body to his left.
Yes.
Tapped his right foot and then went down and hit his shin.
Right. So, right. Well, no. So his... Actually, I'm watching the video. So the left foot and the left arm, they were down. So he gets that left foot down. Did you watch it? Did you watch it again? Because that happened so fast. Yeah. So he manages to drag his right knee, I think, unless I'm seeing it backwards. Are we seeing it backwards, Ryan? You check it. It's on our, well, it's on NFL, but it's on our show Twix too. He gets that. Ryan's mouth just dropped open. Yeah, he gets his left foot down, and then somehow in the span of 3 inches, he manages to get the right shin down before the knee hits out of bounds. It's astounding. Absurd. Yeah, no, it's really absurd. And you could be mesmerized just by watching it, even if you initially think that it's an incomplete. But yeah, he had two of those, right? So he has two one-handed grabs that both turn into touchdowns. And he was talking about that with a big smile on his face after the game.
I ain't gonna fake it. I can't even do that. I don't know. The first one is just a drag route, and Aaron, you know, comes to me late in progression, and I got to make a play, and luckily it blew wide open. After I caught the ball, let's go score a touchdown, you know. The second one, third down, and he trusted me to go make a play again, right? He comes to me. It's kind of a down that no one expects us to convert, and, you know, that can't be our mindset. We're the only ones I thought we were going to convert there. I might have been the only one. Aaron thought we was. I'm just thankful that he trusted me to go out and make a play. And once he does, it's my job to do it, you know. So, you know, they're both equally important. 7 points. Let's go find a way to get on the board, you know.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, I was talking to the ref when they were reviewing it. I'm like, just for the sake of posterity, you have to say that's in just so it goes down in history. It would rival the Odell catch, you know. It was amazing.
And it was on the same field, actually, as the Odell catch, wasn't it? Wasn't Odell?
It was.
Odell was also, it was a Sunday night game, I think. his rookie year at MetLife Stadium against the Dallas Cowboys. And really, that was the highlight of his career. Well, no, I take that back. Winning the Super Bowl has got to be the highlight of his career. And he did catch a touchdown in the Super Bowl with the Rams before he tore his ACL. So this is the same field. I don't know what it is. But Garrett Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, if they can finally have that connection, that dynamic, the two of them together, that can really spark the Jets. Is it too little, too late? Well, we'll find out. They've certainly put themselves in a bit of a hole. So it's Jeff Ulbrich's first win as the Jets' interim head coach. And it's worth noting, really, even because the offense will get a lot of attention, it's the first time Rodgers has had three passing touchdowns in a game in his last 32 appearances. 32 games without three touchdowns. And he still hasn't had a 300-yard passing game in that same stretch. So a lot of it has to do with Aaron. A lot of it has to do with who he's been with, end of Packers, but also on into the Jets. Not all on him, of course. So a lot of the attention will be on the offense. They get over 100 yards rushing. But really, it's the defense that kept this manageable, and the defense that was a royal pain in the rear of D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud. So that pass rush was bullish on Thursday night. 8 sacks and 11 extra hits on C.J. And the way they played, the physical defense, not just the pass rush, but really a punishing defense all the way around, that was a huge deal. And D'Amico had no answers for why the D-line had so much success against them.
We'll watch the film and see what it is, but obviously we give up 8 sacks, and you know, every drop back or pass situation looks like, you know, we're in scramble mode, so it's just not good enough. We can't operate on time, and we got to get that fixed.
It's hard, you know, to just sit here right now and think about what happened because you didn't watch film yet, but of course, you know, it's embarrassing, and you know, to come out here on a primetime game and, you know, get embarrassed like that is never fun. And, you know, I believe, you know, we have to be better in a lot of areas, you know, and that starts with me.
They had a missed field goal. They end up with a flag on a made field goal that calls it back. They weren't great in the red zone. So there are a lot of points they left out there. And I thought it was interesting, too, that as CJ was talking about it, he mentions that we've kind of been skating by. Right. And you look at the games they've won. So the games that they've won, some of them have been really tight. Now, that's appropriate if you're playing really good teams. But they've also had some games in which you kind of hear what they say after the game. It's almost like they feel as though they played down to the level of their competition. Right. So this is a one score loss for them. The Jets are a team that had just 2 wins and had lost 5 in a row. But they beat the Colts and the Packers by 1 score each. And we're talking about by 3 points or fewer. Obviously, they blasted the Patriots. But against the Bills, they won by a field goal. Against the Jaguars, they only won by 4 points. They beat the Bears early on when Caleb Williams was just getting started by only 6 points. And so they haven't been as smooth or as fluid as they were a year ago offensively. And a lot's been made of the fact that Nico Collins is hurt. That's a big deal. Now Stephon Diggs is out with the torn ACL. So they did rely a bunch on Tank Dell, but they've got to find a way to open up the options for C.J. Stroud. And when he's got guys in his face and dudes all up in his grill the entire time, it's really hard to come up with any kind of time and space to be able to run your offense.
No, we've had a couple wake-up calls this year. I would say, you know, we just got to honestly just play football better, execute better, stop pointing the finger and realize, you know, at the end of the day, like, this is not winning football. And we can't keep squeezing our way by every game. You know, we are a really good football team. We have a lot of really good football players. Once we buy into the systems and what is being, you know, coached, and also we got to be able to have leadership to take over. So, you know, I believe, you know, this isn't the end, but this is definitely a great wake-up call for us to, you know, tighten up the ship. And, you know, this is now playoff football. It's November and December. So we got to be able to – this is going to be the chunk of our schedule, a lot of – great teams we're playing on prime time, and, you know, we got to be able to find ways to win.
The frustrating part about it is, you know, we, you know, to play well in the first half and not come out the second half and not tackle the proper way, not stopping the run, all right? That's, and also when it comes to, it's just everything about it, not protecting, getting a quarterback hit, that's just not good football. So the frustrating part about this is, you know, we didn't come out and we didn't execute well enough to win the game. We didn't make the right, we didn't make plays in the second half to win the game. So that's frustrating, but that's the NFL. Like, if you want to win, your playmakers have to step up and make plays, and that's what we have to see moving forward.
Meanwhile, on the other side of this, yeah, you can understand why the Texans feel like they've just been skating by. And this is another wake-up call, like what CJ had to say about leadership. This is the time where you got to fight through the adversity. Certainly, when you get to November and December, it can feel like the season stretches on. That's what Ron Rivera told us, right? It's a grind. You get to this point, depending upon where your bye is, and it feels like forever before you can have another break, or something along those lines. So they got the mini break, which is huge. But then on the flip side, you've got the opposite for the Jets. This has got to feel like maybe almost a whole new season for them. Okay, it starts now. And Devontae catches his first TD with Aaron Rodgers. And he was talking about, remember, he addressed the team going back when he first got there because he just felt like the energy was all wrong and the body language. And it wasn't a winning atmosphere. It wasn't a winning locker room. But now he can sense a total change in how they're feeling.
I think we did a lot of good stuff and definitely had the energy, you know, flipped that around. So this was a big test because you can go out there and, I mean, after talking about it, you know, obviously I spoke to the team and talked about some of the energy and, you know, what it takes to win. And we did basically everything, just didn't quite execute all the way. So that could take the air out of a team, you know, knowing, look, we checked those boxes, Tate, like, what else now? So to be able to come home and have a bad start, you know, we're just going to put it how it should be labeled. Was not the start that we were supposed to have or should have had based off what we were presented with.
I like how he's already dropped into the we. I mean, I guess that's what happens when you change teams, and he's done it more than once now. It's quickly into a we mentality, so you can be part of the team, part of the locker room. All right, her name is Shelob. Shelob. That's the spider's name. And I just will read you this quick descriptor of Shelob. I remember, by the way, when I was first about to watch The Lord of the Rings, my youngest niece, she knows I'm petrified of spiders, deathly afraid of spiders. So she didn't tell me there was one coming up. And then I was watching The Lord of the Rings and she's like, I'm sorry, Auntie Amy, I'm sorry. I didn't want you to not watch it with me, so I didn't tell you about the spider. Anyway, her descriptor is this, an evil thing in spider form. I kind of feel like that describes all of them, but an evil thing in spider form.
That's it?
Well, she's just gigantic.
Evil thing?
The last child of Ungoliant to trouble the unhappy world.
What a purpose.
And she guards the borders of Mordor, if you remember Mordor, from your one foray into Lord of the Rings. I'd encourage you to go back. If I can go back and watch Godfather at my age, being as old as I am, and Italian and having never seen it until just last year, actually earlier this year, you can watch Lord of the Rings. Just give it a try.
Well, I watched the first one like a couple months ago.
Yeah, but so the third one's the best one.
Well, so, I know it's the best one.
Okay,
it's
but just, you have to get there.
It was a marathon.
It definitely is that. It definitely is a marathon. Are you one of those? Wait, are you Gen Z or you're Gen Z, right?
I have no idea what I am.
Okay, I think you're a Gen Z and your generation, very short attention span. So I can imagine a 3-hour movie.
No. I'm good with movies, but I had to watch the director's cut. So this is like an extra hour. So it was like four hours and like 25 minutes.
Okay, well, maybe don't watch the director's cut of The Two Towers. I think that's the middle one, The Two Towers.
But you got it now. It's more stuff. You gotta know all the
information. Just warning you, the
lore.
Spider is creepy. That's all you need to know. And the King returns. So yeah, Amazon was throwing a big old Shelob on their Prime broadcast. All right, coming up, I dare say, even as the voting continues through Sunday, that right now it's a very healthy margin by which the Lions and Packers are leading our Game of the Week poll. So you can check it out at A-Law Radio. It's got some photos up there, a new video, by the way, on our YouTube channel. But Lions Packers, we'll talk about that next. Will we see Jordan Love? That's the major question. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Happy Friday. Happy November to you on the Infinity Sports Network.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Let's see what they do here.
They've got a couple blocked already this season. Two 10-feet punts.
Snap it deep. Punts away. Tully Freeman back deep. Had a 64-yard punt return in the first half. Takes it at the 10.
makes the first man miss. Second man miss, gets to the 20, 25-yard line. There's the 30, 35, cuts left at the 40. There goes Leaf, left sideline, to the 40, to the 30. He's gone, baby! He's gone! 10-5, end zone! Touchdown, Khalif Raymond! What a thing of beauty! Leaf takes it back to the house, and 65,000 strong are standing at Ford Field.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Dan Miller on Lions Radio. And yeah, Khalif Raymond, he had quite a game for Detroit last weekend. He dominated the second half himself, a 90-yard punt return for the touchdown. And on five different returns, he ended up with nearly 200 total return yards, but also caught a 7-yard touchdown grab from Jared Goff. Tennessee, a sitting duck, essentially, for these Lions who feasted. Now, weirdly enough, if you watch this game, it was very strange. The Lions had 11 minutes fewer time of possession. They actually had fewer yards. They really didn't pass the ball at all early on. It was Jahmyr Gibbs who had the 70-yard touchdown run, but it was this crazy onslaught and really lopsided. Now, Jared Goff ended up passing for multiple touchdowns, but it was such a strange game in which it didn't seem like the offense really had the ball a whole lot, but they were able to score 52 points. So they moved to 6-1 and they score 52 points. But honestly, the Titans, they put up more than 400 yards. It's just they had four turnovers. And so they would kind of shoot themselves in the foot and then give the ball right back to the Lions. And Amon-Ra was kind of talking about how that game felt really weird. But still, 50 plus points is 50 plus points.
I think we broke a record for like least amount of yards and most points or something. But it was so weird just being on the sideline, getting the ball in like the plus area, like plus 30, plus 20. Every time then we got on the field, the times we didn't, you know, we didn't execute the best, or Jahmyr had the 7-yard touchdown. So it was a weird game, but you're never going to complain over scoring 50 points.
This is an NFC North game that is to die for. And we had talked to Ron Rivera a couple of weeks ago, and I was asking him about the AFC North and what, or the NFC North, excuse me. And what he said is, just wait till they start playing each other. That's when you really understand the strength of this division. Wait until they start playing each other. Well, that's about to happen. Now, we did see Lions and Vikings a couple weeks ago. Now it's two of the NFL's hottest teams, and you've got the Lions. Right. This is something I've never said in all of my days in sports radio, and that spans now more than two decades. The Lions are the NFL's top scoring offense. The Lions, they've got everything they could possibly need. They've got a terrific offensive line, which is really the anchor. They've got a Jared Goff who's playing the best football of his career. Wait till you hear what Bill Belichick has to say to him and about him. They've got multiple options in the passing game, like Amon-Ra St. Brown. Not that he's the only one. They've got running backs for days like Jahmyr Gibbs, who, remember a couple of years ago when the Lions drafted him, people kind of thought they were jumping the gun with him. David Montgomery as well, as long as he can stay healthy. I mean, this is a team that can pack a punch and can hit you hard. Now, on the defensive side, of course, they're missing Aiden Hutchinson, who's really the energy and the motor for that defense, but it doesn't mean they're without talent. And then you take on the Packers, who've been able to win even when Jordan Love isn't on the field. And that's one of the stories, I think, kind of the sneaky success stories about the NFC North, is that Malik Willis has been on the field for 2.5 of the Packers' wins this year. And they got him, what, 3 weeks before their first game? Maybe not even that long. He has been able to step in, really a Titans reject. So I bet last week's game was helpful for him. He's been able to step. They played earlier in the year, right? Packers and Titans played earlier in the year. Yeah. Okay. All these games blend together. I have no excuse for myself. So when the Packers and Titans played earlier in the year, it was kind of extra motivation for him, but they used him initially as a running quarterback and just a handoff so that they could utilize what they felt like were his strengths. But once he got more comfortable, they've actually used him in the passing game, and it's been really impressive. And so the Lions are going to have to take on a Packers team that they may or may not have Jordan Love on the field. But yeah, right now the Lions are the team to beat in the NFC. They've been so good in so many areas, and even in losing Aiden Hutchinson, they've managed to compensate. Now, one big note for them, and then we'll talk about the Packers and Jordan Love, but one big note for them is Jameson Williams. He's ending up now with another suspension. This one's for banned substances. Remember, he had the suspension for the gambling going back to last season. The Lions have stuck with him, and it sounds like they still believe in him. It's just they're trying to walk through this with their wide receiver.
You continue to coach him up on it, teach him, and let him know, you know, it's a different environment, and you got to understand that, you know, you're looked at different and you're viewed different. And, you know, anybody else out there, something happens, nobody even knows about it. It doesn't, you know. Whereas, man, they're looking. And any little thing can turn into a huge thing here. So you just got to do your best to stay out of those situations where something like this doesn't come up.
So they're trying to work with him on various different situations that he finds himself in. The situation where he got stopped, traffic stop, and had the gun. There's been the behavioral clause, the suspension for the gambling. A lot of this stuff that they're trying to work with him. And I do really appreciate that they want to see him come out the other side. You don't know how much of a walk they're willing to take with him, how much of a gamble they're willing to take. At some point, if he can't figure it out and they can't count on him, well, then they'll have to change, you know, what they're doing and how they're handling him. But they won't have him. He's got to finish the suspension, again, for the performance enhancers, but also has been in trouble with the law and the gambling. And I know he's young. It's early. I think kind of like Memphis with Ja Morant in the NBA and wanting to see him through. Jameson's only 23 years old. So I hope that he recognizes the faith that they have in him and recognizes that this is a family that believes in him and that will walk through this with him. But he's going to have to get it together, to be sure. All right, so the Lions are going to look to run the ball against the Packers. They did that effectively last season. But what about the Packers and their offense, right? What about the criteria for throwing Jordan Love out there, even though he's still dealing with the groin issue?
You got to be able to get out of harm's way if it comes your way. And you got to be able to function and do the things that we need you to do and that he feels comfortable doing. And if he can't, then he won't play.
Yeah, he's got to be able to protect himself. That's the deal. Got to be able to keep from taking any more of those nasty hits. Got to be able to move, right? So with the groin, he tried to continue playing last week, and ultimately he was hobbled. Can he move around effectively? Can he sidestep? Can he drop back? Can he evade pressure if it comes to that? Because you can't just take the ball, hand off, or take the ball and dump every single time. There's got to be some threat of a down-the-field offense, which requires a little more time with the football. Now, when we come back, because this game is so big, there's been talk of MVP around one Jared Goff. Way too early, going into week number 9, but it's interesting to hear what Bill Belichick had to say, not just about Jared, but to Jared on this week's edition of Let's Go, which is the SiriusXM show that Belichick is now part of. I wonder if they talked about his Halloween costume. So we'll do a little more on Detroit and Green Bay. Also, a couple of other quarterback notes as well, because Tua is getting ready to play his second game, and it's inside the AFC East. Yeah, so there's a lot happening. Derek Carr is returning, too. So a little more about NFL Week 9 plus. We're bringing back a feature we haven't used in quite a while. It's been way too long, but in honor of the World Series. Here's our latest sports update.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I don't know if we care how much we're supposed to win or not. And people saying, you know, this, you know, we're careful for a trap game. Like, we were ready to go. We were geared up, ready to go. And all week we were saying, you know, we're going to be ready. And, you know, they came out and fought us. And we had to fight back and blow it open there. And it was a good win.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I don't love the term trap game. I know it wouldn't be a thing if it didn't happen, but the Lions did not fall into any kind of a trap against the Titans. And you hear that from Jared Goff. 52 points they hung on Tennessee, but no one is looking ahead of this game between the Lions and the Packers, two of the hottest teams in the NFL. And Bill Belichick, as well as Jim Gray, had Jared Goff as a guest on their weekly edition of Let's Go on SiriusXM NFL Radio. And as Jared was talking about offense and talking about the Lions season to date, Bill gave him a pretty sweet compliment.
I have to win pre-snap and I have to win, you know, in the pocket, and something I take a lot of pride in.
Jared, you're doing a great job of that. I used to tell Tom all the time, Tom, we can't gain any yards until you get rid of the ball.
That's a great way to put it.
Either hand it to Gibbs or throw it to somebody. But as soon as we get it out of your hands, we can gain yards. As long as you have it, we're not going anywhere. And you're doing a great job of that. You're using all your skill players and obviously, you know, in multiple ways, even getting the ball to Sewell. You know, you have a lot of weapons, and you know, as soon as you get them the ball, like then the fun starts.
How about that revelation? It's so simple and yet so on point, if you will. It really is one of those that you think, okay, that's not something that any average person could come up with, except that that's from the mind of Bill Belichick. Yeah, duh. It's almost like a duh, and yet it's so critical. Tom, as in Tom Brady, we can't move the ball until you get rid of the ball. I love that. It's revelatory, even though it's really a duh. Like, most people would say that in some way, shape, or form. But to be telling the best quarterback in the history of the game, yo, Tom, we can't move the ball until you get rid of the ball. So use your playmakers, in essence. That comes from SiriusXM NFL Radio. And yeah, a lot of chatter around Jared Goff as a potential MVP, though it is week number 9. All right, so a couple of other quick quarterback notes. Tua, of course, is back for the Miami Dolphins. I love that he's feisty. I love that he's getting a little defensive, a little bit salty when people are coming at him. He looks healthy. He didn't get hit a whole lot last week, but he did have a fumble. And he wants you to know that it's not as easy as it looks to be out there as a starting quarterback.
It wasn't my best as well. But I'm just saying, to give perspective, it's not as easy as what it looked like, sitting down on your couch eating chips.
Does he really think that's what the media does during football games? We sit on our couch and eat chips?
Some media members have better than chips. They have, like, sweet food and stuff.
That is hysterical. He is so real. Since he got back, he's just raring to go. And, of course, that didn't miss the media part. All right, and then Derek Carr is back this week. He's been dealing with that oblique injury, and he's salty over it too.
It sucks having to sit there and watch when it wasn't the most painful thing I've ever dealt with. It really wasn't. It wasn't really painful. It was just a lack of being able to do my job. And so that was the most frustrating part, because I couldn't just play through it. You know, I just literally couldn't do it.
That's good. This having the quarterback that I've been repping with since for a long time, building chemistry. Just having that leader back out there is gonna be huge for us. Trying to get back on path to what we dreamed of in the beginning of the year.
Yeah, remember at the beginning of the year when the Saints were hanging 50 on people and it was a 2-0 start? Well, Derek Carr is back. Chris Olave is happy. Those are some of your QB notes. Take our poll for After Hours Game of the Week at A-Law Radio and on our Facebook page. But, you know, this week was all about the World Series.
Come on, click, boom!
Here on After Hours, we end every show the same way.
Boom! I just laid down the A-Law. Boom!
You know it. You love it. Now we're cranking it up a notch. After Hours presents the best highlights.
Foles running up and down the lines. A direct snap, and it goes to Clement, who gives it off to Burton, the tight end, who then throws in the end zone. Touchdown! Foles!
and the most sizzling reaction.
Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate the greatest sports show in America.
Boom!
I'm very, you know, excited. I'm always excited to be the state in Cleveland.
It's the boom moment of the week. Here's Amy Lawrence. Boom!
First pitch swinging. High fly ball. Hit deep. Back and gone! Freddie Freeman channeling his inner Kirk Gibson. A walk-off home run in game one of the World Series.
Los Angeles Dodgers.
Dave Roberts can hardly watch. Here's the 1-2 pitch from Buehler. Got him swinging! That's it! It's a World Series win for LA! They've done it! They finished the job and give Los Angeles the parade it's been waiting for!
How does that not fire you up if you are a baseball fan? One of the most legendary World Series moments we've ever seen. Freddie Freeman with a walk-off grand slam. And I just said to Ryan as we're listening to it again, I'm so glad I saw it live. It was late on a Friday night. It was in L.A., so obviously the time difference. But I'm hanging out in my sweatpants. My husband was gone, and I was enjoying my Friday night. I was getting tired, but I'm like, I can't turn this game off. And to see a walk-off grand slam unfold live in that opener of the World Series, the Japanese call on Fuji TV of the Dodgers and the Yankees in the World Series, that's tremendous. I have no idea what they're saying. He could be trying to sell us pears from a market, and I would have no idea, but it was awesome. And then the final call. From the Dodgers perspective, Steven Nelson on Dodgers radio. Dave Roberts can barely watch. It's good stuff. And, man, it was a series of twists and turns. And if you missed it earlier, the Dodgers actually end up getting the best World Series ratings for this victory going back to their series against the Astros. So you may say, some of you may begrudgingly say that the Dodgers are the best team in baseball or that you don't want to watch them because it's boring or they buy a World Series or blah, blah, blah. But with the combination of all the adversity they went through this year and Shohei Ohtani and a Freddie Freeman who reveals he was more banged up than what anybody knew and he refused to not participate in this World Series, all of that made for great drama. So yeah, great ratings, great TV viewership. Unfortunately, it ended in 5 games. And now we're on to November, you guys. All right, enjoy the football weekend. And we're back here on Sunday night to break it all down. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.